I'm preaching through 2 Samuel 13 through 20, lots of chapters combined at once. And this is what happens when we try to fix problems with others by doing things that look like grace. That's what I'm preaching on. They look like grace, but they're really only ignoring the problem. Now, I'm going to explain, but the main lesson is that the consequences that come with such fix attempts really just multiply problems. And the results are not what people get from this fix that only looks like grace. Now, God wants us, He wants me and you to apply His grace. He wants us to. It is a reflection of Christ Jesus. And so we really do need to examine this very closely. So prepare your heart for this sermon. God's grace is different than a selfish fix. Let's pray. Lord, please help us to discern between the difference. Please help us to use what we're learning in some areas right now that you bring to our minds and our lives. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when David was king over Israel, back in ancient Israel, he had children from his many wives, and he had many wives. He had a son named Amnon from his wife Ahinoam. He also had a son and a daughter from another wife named Maachah, and those two were Absalom and his sister Tamar. Now, Tamar was very beautiful, and Tamar's half-brother Amnon sinfully lusted after her, and he actually planned to be immoral with her. Now, the custom back then was that a virgin was not allowed to be alone with a male. It is a propriety custom that we do well to practice today. But Amnon wanted to be alone with Tamar as an opportunity to be immoral. So one day, Amnon pretended to be sick. And their father, King David, he came to see Amnon. Amnon asked David, King David, please let Tamar come and make me some food and help me to eat. Well, David thought it sounded reasonable. So David sent his daughter to his son's house. She got there. There were other people there also. So she prepared the food. But then Amnon made the others leave. And Amnon told Tamar to bring the food into his bedroom. And when she got there, Amnon grabbed her and he said, come lie with me, my sister. And she said, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the wicked fools of Israel. Well, what Tamar was trying to do was reason with Amnon about this disgusting sinfulness that he was attempting to do with her. And she said, well, now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. What she was trying to do is get out of the situation, all right? But the situation was very complex. You see, fornication is sin. And God's law, the Mosaic law, the covenant law they were under, said that to fornicate meant that the two involved must get married. And if it was rape, then the man should be executed and the woman considered innocent. And then Leviticus 17 added to the complexity. It prohibited marriage and sexual relations between half-brother and sister. So King David would normally have to withhold Tamar from Amnon. But Tamar's there. She doesn't know what to do. She's trying to come up with something to get her brother to stop. Well, Amnon should have stopped anyway. Should have taken the route of the truth of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's what guides all of us. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to people. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Well, Amnon ignored God's ways of escape. And so consumed with sin, he overpowered his sister and he raped her. And then it says, this is horrible, it's already horrible, but listen to this. Amnon hated Tamar with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the passion he had for her before. Coldly, he commanded her to go. She said, no, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you've done to me. Well, Amnon already defiled Tamar, very wrong, very bad. Doing so as her brother was doubly wrong. But in her eyes, it was possible for the king to decree that Amnon must marry her, though her half-brother. And so she saw sending her away to be greater evil because it sealed him as an unrepentant rapist. It also showed that he rejected her in hate, and it also left her to face life as a defiled woman, a perpetual victim of his sin. And see, back then, it's not like today, usually meant no other man would marry her. But this also meant Amnon was guilty of the death penalty. The thing is, none of it mattered to him. He apparently thought that he had some sort of immunity, that he was not accountable. Amnon had Tamar thrown out. And so she runs off crying. She's disgraced, defiled. She's dejected. And then their brother Absalom finds out. And the way Absalom reacted is very important, and I'm going to read it to you. And as I do, I want you to ask yourself, is it God's grace that you're going to be hearing, or is it a selfish fix? Absalom said to Tamar, "Keep silent, my sister. He's your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." Well, Absalom's counsel might seem like a grace move. You know, keep silent, don't take the matter to heart. You know, Amnon's your brother. But the thing is, it was far from it. And it was not a fix either. And this is the lesson. Being Tamar's brother didn't give Amnon special rights. He was guilty of willingly and ambitiously breaking two of God's laws, the law on incest and the law on rape. He defiled, he shamed, he hurt his sister with no remorse. He hated her. And he lied. Lied to David, pretended to be sick, used his father, the king, to tell Tamar to go to his house. And it wasn't lawful to force Amnon to marry Tamar in responsibility for his action, the fornication, because it would be an incestuous marriage. What was left for Amnon was the death penalty, according to God's law. Not silence because he's a brother, not ignoring the matter by not taking it to heart, but this was Absalom's counsel to Tamar. So if Absalom was not having God's grace for Amnon, then what was it? Well, it was a kind of quick fix attempt as a temporary covering. And the principle is that consequences that come with such fix attempts multiply the problems. What appeared like grace was really a waiting period that the fix Absalom was looking for was going to come someday. Absalom wanted Amnon to die. And when King David found out about what Amnon did to Tamar, of course he was angry. But there was a problem. David didn't do anything about it. Now, David should have followed the Mosaic law. He should have had Amnon executed for raping Tamar. But it's a tough situation. The thing about it was that Amnon lived freely as a rapist, seemingly protected by his father David. But David was trying to ignore the situation. Tamar was doomed to never marry as a defiled victim for life. And so David's inaction was bad. Whatever reason it was, even if it looked like grace, it was not God's grace at work. God's grace is different than a selfish fix. But this can happen with parents and their children. That's what was going on with David. It can happen with friends, with misplaced loyalties. You know, if they don't want to apply correction or punishment, people do nothing. And with David, doing nothing added hurt to his daughter, but it did much, much more. It was seen as a gross failure in the rule of the king. And that's how Absalom, the other brother, interpreted it. 2 years went by. The whole time, Absalom refused to talk to his brother Amnon. And it says Absalom hated Amnon because he violated his sister Tamar. And the motivation to get justice was just simmering and simmering. And since David's inactivity was not really God's grace at work, it was a non-fix, the problems it led to began to unfold. 2 years later, Absalom was going to have his sheep sheared. And back then, you're going to have all your sheep sheared. This type of event was a big deal back then. It was like a festive occasion. It's all kinds of food and stuff going on. Absalom goes to his father, King David. He invited him to come. Absalom said, "If you can't come, then let my brother Amnon go." David let Amnon go. So by now, leaving Amnon alone for 2 years may have seemed like grace, but it was only the waiting period for exposing the fix as a broken deception. While at the shearing time, Absalom had Amnon killed. Well, David was heartbroken over the killing of his son Amnon. David was told that Absalom had always determined to kill his brother, that Absalom determined to do it since the day Amnon raped his sister. Now, this would have changed if David would have shown action in heartbreak over his daughter being raped. action in heartbreak over God's law being transgressed and had done something. But now, Absalom was the one fearing for his life like a criminal on the run. And so he runs off to refuge. He goes to the kingdom of Geshur. Now, David's wife, Maachah, Absalom's mother, was the daughter of the king of Geshur. So Absalom stayed there in Geshur for 3 years. And eventually, it says, David longed to reach out to Absalom, but he still didn't do it. And David was persuaded to bring Absalom back to Jerusalem. He was persuaded by General Joab. Joab had a woman come and talk to David. And here's what David was told. Remember the Lord and his mercy. And David was reminded of God's grace versus selfish fixes. David was told this, that when it came to grace and mercy, when God goes the grace and mercy route, it says this, he provides ways for the guilty to be reconciled to himself. Well, David understood this about God's grace. He experienced it in respect to adultery with Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah. All of us see God's grace in his plan of salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, God did take his first son away, but he understands. God provides ways to be reconciled. Be glad that God's grace means that he does not take away your life, my life, right? Instead, he willingly gave up the life of his son so that you would have complete forgiveness and everlasting life in his grace and mercy. Well, at this true grace advice, it did make sense. And so what David did is he started to think about this. And it was the road to fixing the problems that started way back with the fake fix. And so David agreed to allow Absalom to return to Jerusalem. So now he's back. But there's a problem again. Something in David was not truly applying God's grace to Absalom. David was applying a Band-Aid fix to cover the broken situation. Remember, this is what we're trying to discern in our own lives. I can't get into your life right now and point out situations you might be going through that has this kind of stuff. But there's Band-Aid fixes and there's God's real grace. And the Band-Aid fix is a thing that you don't want to do. So David let Absalom return, but David barred Absalom from seeing him. So now he's there, but he won't ever talk to him, won't ever see him, won't ever let him come. And this is another demonstration of the long-lasting consequences of fake grace fixes. For 2 years, David refused to see Absalom. 2 years. And Absalom pressed over and over again, I want to see my father. I want to see David. I want to see him. But no. And because of the pressure, David finally called for Absalom to welcome him. 2 years. But the consequences of the weak Band-Aid had already set in. David's actions of fake grace did not fix the splinters which were allowed to sit there, infecting Absalom's broken heart. Anger and unforgiveness had developed in Absalom. And so here's what Absalom would do. He would go out to the gate of Jerusalem. He'd just hang around there. And when people would come to see David, King David, for decision-making processes, because that was pretty much one of the main activities of the king, when they would come to see him, Absalom would stop them, and then he would help them decide issues. You know what he's doing? He's acting like a king. He was acting like he would be a better king than his father. And it says, in this manner, Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment, so Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. You see, he did think he was a better king than his father. Remember how far back this went? Back when David wouldn't do anything about the rape. And then look at how David kept acting afterward. And so the lesson touches everything. And so now Absalom was not having God's grace, though, with his own father. Always know, it can happen to all of us. He never forgave his father, the king, for not seeking justice when it came to dealing with the rape of his sister, and David's daughter. He never forgave David for shunning him for applying the death penalty himself. But Absalom was guilty of not seeking God for God's will as well. So what was he doing? He was working out his own selfish fix. Absalom was seeking to overthrow his father, who was God's anointed. Remember, that's why King David is king. God chose him. So Absalom's seeking to take over the throne in self-anointing. That's a fix. That's not even a real fix. None of it. So one day, Absalom went out to offer sacrifices and anoint himself king. And Absalom sent men to the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king. Well, King David realized that Absalom had won the hearts of all the Israelites, basically turned his heart against him, against David, and that all these people wanted Absalom to be king. In fact, so many of them that David and his throne were about to experience a huge uprising. So David made the decision to have the loyal people in Jerusalem all come together in this big mass exodus and leave because they thought they'd be able to escape Absalom's hostile coup. So David got out of Jerusalem with masses of people, and he left behind 10 of his concubines to keep his house. And David said, this is very important, if I find grace in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again. But if the Lord should say, I have no delight in you, then here I am, let him do to me as seems good to the Lord. And well, this shows that David was not sure that God still delighted in David. He knew that he dealt with Tamar, Amnon, and Absalom in a faulty way. But David hoped in God's grace. And David said, if I find grace in the sight of the Lord, he'll bring me back. And David knew he needed God's real grace more than anything else. It's what we all need. And so as David and the big crowd were exiting Jerusalem, they got out, and they got to where a man from Saul's family lived. Remember Saul? Saul was the king before David became king. Saul was the one that was constantly trying to kill David in hatred for David with his own selfish fix. And so they came out, and they came to a man. The man was from Saul's family. His name was Shimei. And Shimei came out, and he starts cursing David. You can imagine this huge crowd of people. And David's military men are there, too. So this guy is out there, and he's throwing stones at David and his men. He called David a man of bloodshed, worthless. He said, you know, the Lord returned all the bloodshed of the house of Saul on you, David, and the Lord gave the kingdom to your son Absalom. He said, David was caught on his own evil as a murderer. Well, one of David's men, his warriors, wanted to kill Shimei, but David thought, you know, maybe Shimei could possibly be prophesying right now. Either he's prophesying or he's wrong, which means he's sinning, but David didn't know which it was. So David said, if he curses, and if the Lord has truly told him, curse David, then who shall we be to say to him, why have you done so? Because it would be from God. So David told his men, let Shimei alone and let him curse. Perhaps the Lord has told him to do so. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of cursing this day. And so again, we see that David wondered if he'd been guilty of such evil that God had turned against him. And so David was still looking for what? What we're all looking for. The real grace of God. Actually, the real fix. Right? Perhaps the Lord will look at my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. Because we all mess up. And we know there are consequences to our mess ups. Yeah, sin's forgiven, but there's consequences to the sin that we lay out. Remember the sermon last week? But keep seeking God for his grace. And in the meantime, Absalom, the son, invaded Jerusalem, and he took over the throne. And then a tent was pitched on the roof of David's house, and Absalom had relations with David's concubines in the sight of all Israel, just as Nathan the prophet said would happen because David killed Uriah and stole his wife Bathsheba. But now, Absalom is guilty of the same sin of his brother Amnon. Remember, fake grace just leads to more problems. Absalom was just as deserving of death now. Death for fornicating with David's concubines. Death for rebelling against the Lord's anointed king. Absalom's lack of grace with his father fixed nothing, but it caused destruction that would never be fixed. When we have lack of grace, when we do not manifest the love of Christ, we are bringing consequences for that. Lack of grace brings consequences. Well, next, Absalom was advised to have an army leave immediately to go out and attack David and his people while they're traveling out. You know, Absalom, go out and do it now. They're leaving. You can get them. You can overtake them. But David had an ally that he left in Jerusalem, a secret advocate of David who gave counter advice to his son Absalom. And he told Absalom, no, you need to wait. And then later, Absalom, you need to go out with an army and you need to be there and you need to be part of the victory. And we're told that the Lord ordained for this secret loyalist of David to advise Absalom to wait so that the Lord would bring calamity on Absalom. And this advice to Absalom gave David time to be alerted and be ready. And so the insider, he sends words out secretly to David that Absalom was going to attack. And then David did pretty much what David was known for. He moved into military strategy mode, and he was probably the best military strategist of his day. He got his armies to divide into three companies, and they were ready to attack Absalom's armies, and it worked. And when Absalom and his men attacked, David's men defeated 20,000. And Absalom was there, and he was riding, and he went under some branches of a tree. And the scriptures always describe that he had this long, thick hair. Long hair got tangled in the branches. And he was stuck so badly, he couldn't get out. He couldn't get free. Well, David had ordered that nobody was to kill Absalom. David had this kind of love for his son, and he still didn't want him killed. But General Joab decided to disobey the king. Why? Because Joab wanted to implement a selfish fix. Remember what we're looking at. Joab speared Absalom while he was stuck. And when David found out that his son Absalom had been killed, he wept and he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you?" Now remember, all these events follow because of the way Amnon was handled after he raped Tamar. And it shows that selfish fixes, even those that look like grace, wrongly called grace, they're not fixes, they're fertilizer for future problems. Look at your life. Is there something like this going on? Well, back then, in sadness, not in a spirit of victory, David heads back. He's got all the people of Judah, half the people of Israel with him, all the people of Judah, half the tribes with him. And on the way back, they met that angry member of Saul's family again, Shimei, the man who caused David some pain when he cursed him on his way out of Jerusalem. Well, apparently, Shimei had not been prophesying before, right? Instead, he was sinning. Now, Shimei falls down before King David and he said, "Let not my master consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when you came out from Jerusalem, so that the king would take it to heart, for your servant knows I have sinned." He's not cursing anymore. He's repenting. Shimei confessed his sin to David. And David seemed to show God's mercy, God's grace. David told Shimei, "You will not die." Now, here's the thing. Was this real grace, or was it only a fix? We found out later in 1 Kings that David really didn't have God's grace in mind to Shimei. But in the meantime, sin and selfish fixes are everywhere, and the consequences are everywhere. Be very careful, because this is what this sermon is about for you. Don't act like selfish fixes are grace if you're not truly applying the grace of God. With David, while everyone's going back to Jerusalem, a Benjamite named Sheba convinces all the men of Israel to rebel and abandon David and the people of Judah. They're all the way back to Jerusalem, and this guy comes and says, he just gets them all worked up, and he gets half of them to leave. Well, Judah remained loyal to David and followed him back to Jerusalem. And David had a new commander now. He had General Joab, and now he has another guy that's working with him also. His name is Amasa. And so David had Amasa go out to get the men of Judah so that they could halt the rebellion with Israel that Sheba was leading. I know there's a lot of names here, but try to follow it. He's got a new commander now, David does, named Amasa. And he's sending him out because this guy Sheba started this rebellion. So Amasa's going out. He's supposed to come back with the men of Judah. But Commander Amasa was late. So David had General Joab and his brother Abishai go pursue the rebel Sheba. Well, General Joab met David's man, Commander Amasa, who was on his way to David like David ordered. But in a bizarre, senseless, selfish, sinful act of betrayal, General Joab murders Commander Amasa. I mean, it was weird. When you read about it, it's strange. Joab was jealous of David's new commander. He's going out to get this rebel, and he kills one of his fellow military men, commanders. What General Joab did was, is he used a selfish fix to fix something that was never a problem. He should have sought God's will, should have lived in real grace, But he was jealous, and now Joab cursed his own life with the consequences. And so now with the innocent blood on his own hands, with Amasa sinlessly murdered, and the scriptures describing him as laying there in the road with his guts out of his body. Strange, because Joab at least keeps pursuing the rebel Sheba. But since God's grace is different than a selfish fix, now Joab was just as guilty of sinful rebellion as Sheba, the man he's pursuing. Well, they finally caught up with Sheba. He was taking refuge in a walled Israelite city, and Joab's men were trying to topple the wall when a woman from the city asked, "Why are you trying to destroy God's people?" Well, Joab said, "You know, Sheba, he's rebelled against the king. Hand him over, and we'll leave." The woman said, "His head will be thrown to you over the wall." Well, they did. They threw Sheba's head to Joab. Joab returned to Jerusalem. Now, Joab may have been a hero in one sense. I mean, he took care of the rebellion, right? But later we see what happened to him for sinfully murdering David's other commander, Amasa. We also see what happened to Shimei, the man who had cursed David, that David evidently did not have real grace of God with. Because David did not have grace on either one of them. What he had were selfish fixes which lasted for years. He just covered over it with selfish fixes. He kind of ignored it. But later, David reminded his son Solomon, who became the next king. He reminded him of what Joab had done. And David told his son Solomon, when Solomon becomes king, to not let Joab die in peace. And since David's seeming temporary grace with Shimei was only a selfish fix too, David also told Solomon not to let Shimei go unpunished, to bring him to his death with blood. And Solomon did it. Right after Solomon became king, he had Joab executed. And then a little later, he had Shimei executed. Wow. So my urging to us is to recognize that God's grace is different than a selfish fix. Selfish fixes lead to problems. Think of an area right now where you need to show grace. You need to show God's grace. And so go ahead and show God's real grace. But when you do it, don't be faking it. You know, don't be just mouthing off or just ignoring. Be real about it. Don't try to fix the situation by having it blow over for selfish reasons. Have true forgiveness and real love. Bring the reconciliation that God talked to David about, right? And deal with it in a godly way. Amen? That's the word.